Hello.
Hello.
What are we on? Episode 28.
Wow, episode 28.
And we're, I think we're probably going to do a little bit of a shorty today.
And we always say that.
I want to get over to a, well, I really have to do it this time. I've got.
Yes, Dan's black belt test is tomorrow.
Yep. Here, and I have no idea what we're going to talk about today.
Well, I'm going to start right off because I don't think I actually wrote this down here. I'm going to go through. I went to a seminar from the company Avid.
Yeah.
They do video editing software.
Hang on. Before you get to that, I would like to remind people that our website is www.rockstormmedia.com. And we've had a couple of additions to the Frapper page. And I'll tell you. You know what? I wish I remember the name. But have you seen the Frapper page? The guy that has the stormtrooper doing the humping motion?
Yes.
It fucking cracks me up every time I see it. So anyway, go out to our Frapper page. We've got a link right on our main site. It's Gay Homes.
Oh,
what is
man.
Going on, dude? Did we get hacked?
We've been totally hacked.
Now look. What's going on?
We've been hacked. That's what's going
That's
on.
That's a weird div tag.
Somebody,
what the
somebody,
hell?
Somebody totally hacked us.
Somebody hacked our wiki.
God, ram it. We're coming to you live, people, from our hacked website.
They hacked 27, too.
You know what?
But
fuck you,
know you
guys. Fuck you, hackers.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, you guys didn't have to do this shit. Fuck you, hackers.
Wait a minute. Just settle. Calm down there, Beavis.
I just wanted to, you know, want to say that because... Yeah. No,
see,
no,
we still got our shit.
Yeah, but what's the stuff on the top there?
It's just all bullshit stuff. We'll get rid of it.
All right, so
it's on the template. That's all. All
right, so not fuck you so much because you didn't actually make us lose our stories. That's
yes,
fine.
You didn't delete all
so
of our
only
shit.
So only a minor fuck you.
Only a minor fuck you. Yeah. All right. I wonder, maybe we got to update our wiki software or something.
I don't know, dude.
That's pretty gorf.
It's all www.gayhomes.net.
Wow. Yeah, I noticed that one of the big web searches that we were the results for was like two gay guys or something like that.
Yeah, that was one. We did the search. The top search strings
yes.
that found our site, and
yes.
one of them was, yeah.
Too gay love or something like that.
Yeah, really, really gay.
So, anyway, our Frapper page, and go check that out. And the forums. I, again, appreciate everybody posting on the forums their thoughts
yes.
and comments and their hellos.
All right.
So.
Real quickly here, I want to go over what I went to Ann Arbor.
Yes, you did.
On Thursday, because Avid was having a seminar, a free seminar, to talk about their software. Interestingly enough, the guy actually spent most of the time giving kind of a crash course in the history of film editing.
Oh.
And it was pretty interesting. A guy by the name of Glenn Seaman. I was a good student. I took notes.
Good for you.
And if you were to guess how many of the...
Siemens.
of the movies that were nominated for Oscar awards this
mm-hmm,
year,
mm-hmm.
how many of those movies were edited with an Avid system?
How many were nominated?
I don't know.
Okay. Four.
No, give a percentage. How many?
Oh,
Of all of them, what percentage were edited with an Avid, an Avid system?
20.
20%?
Yeah.
You'd be wrong.
Okay.
100%.
Really?
Every single nominated movie.
See, I thought Final Cut was the de facto standard.
You'd be wrong.
Really?
In fact, 85% of Or 95% of all primetime show TV shows, broadcast shows, are 95% of them are an Avid system.
Really?
Yep. Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Okay. Basically, the gist of it is the guy went over a bunch of history of film editing, which I found really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first actual cut that was made to be creative was done in like 1916, and it was a train going into a tunnel, and they cut to some guy kissing a girl on the train.
Oh, really?
And that was the first creative edit.
All right.
Right? Where it wasn't, they just filmed it along, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Linearly. so, okay, what did they talk about? They talked about the fact that it's a little easier to collaborate with the Avid system. And I know we've had problems collaborating, doing collaborative editing efforts.
That's very difficult when you're trying to have two people edit the same raw footage to get a single product.
Right.
Their file
format is AAF,
okay,
which is basically is a metafile format that stores all the cuts, all the edits, everything in the file.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have a database that goes along with your files, so the files know where your main database is, and your main database knows where your files are at.
Okay.
So for the collaboration, it's actually pretty simple. They store all the media in one folder. And whenever you transfer that media and use that base folder for
mm-hmm.
where they keep all your Avid stuff, whenever you transfer that to a new system, you could put it on an external hard drive. When you plug that hard drive in and launch your Avid system and open your app, you open your file,
yeah,
your project,
yeah,
it'll find all the files for you.
See, I really, Premiere does that now for me.
Right, but you still have to point it to the directory. Yeah, it'll ask you
for the first
these
file.
Files are missing
for
right.
one file, and then it just
this will find them anywhere. You can plug in any amounts of
yeah. The
hard
actually
drives,
the other
nice.
Lesson that I've learned is if I'm using a removable hard drive, if I name that hard drive, not name it, if I assign it the same drive letter on different systems, it just always finds it anyway.
Right. But this gets around the whole thing.
I make it as the X drive.
This looks for a
specific
directory, and it's kind of nice.
Cool.
And the other thing is they track all the media within the application. So you don't, so like, you know, we have our file names are all named, specific names in the directories
right.
and all that kind of stuff. So they manage all those files inside
separately.
The Avid system itself. So going to the directory to look at that media is pointless because you don't even know what the names of the files are.
Right.
But anyway, that AAF file format they use is actually an open standard.
Ah.
Okay. So, and they actually interact with a bunch of their stuff with Storyboard Artist, looks like. Storyboard
oh,
Artist
that's cool.
a storyboard thing. And they can work with multiple medias of multiple different formats in the same project. Like
that's nice.
You can have different resolutions of files, and it treats them all the same.
Yeah, that's really painful in Premiere that you have to actually resize or
yeah,
it's
really
it's
painful.
Not fun. It's not
you
fun.
Can, this is really cool. You ever seen Arrested Development?
Maybe,
it's a really weird
maybe bits and pieces
TV
of it.
Show, but it's
yeah.
very off the wall, and the dialogue and everything is all crazy, and the characters are weird, and all this weird stuff goes on.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they have a really hard time editing that footage because the story itself is so written so oddly that they end up using script-based editing. This is, he showed us an example. This was really cool. You grab a couple pieces of media, and you import your script into the editing software, into Avid, and then you drag and drop, you highlight parts of the script that this media pertains to, and you drag the media and drop it on there. And then as it plays, you put your mouse over the different sections, so it aligns your media so you can have multiple different takes associated with the script.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll play the script, and as it plays the script, you can select which one of the takes you want right from the script. So you wouldn't use it all the time, but it's a really interesting way to run the script, have three different versions of a scene associated
right.
with that one scene on the script.
That's wild.
Watch all three of them, pick the one that you want, and then move on. So you do sort of a script-based editing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's cool.
I guess overall, the
it
one
thing
it
sounds very intense.
It is.
It sounds very, very professional.
This is much more professional, in
yes.
my opinion, than Premiere is.
Yes, that's what it sounds like to me.
And but it was very interesting. The,
cool.
the multicam ability of the application blew my mind. You know, you group footage together, so you have several different takes, and you group them together as a group.
Uh-huh.
And that group, you can watch they act as a camera in and of themselves.
Right.
And then you can watch them in the little preview screen, you know,
right,
that you usually get in your applications. So you watch however many pieces of footage you have grouped, and you can switch between them real
time. And you sort of become like a director of a live show.
Exactly. That's
exactly
what it's like.
Where you can watch it as if it were live, and then just switch between
right,
A, B, and C.
And
camera.
You're like, okay, camera two now,
right,
camera
right,
three, and then it yeah, does it real time.
Yeah. That's pretty slick.
I was really impressed. You can get Avid Express, the light
version. For $100,
for,
right?
No, that's unfortunately, it's $540.
Is that all?
For like the lowest version.
All right.
But again, you're right. This is a professional yeah, platform.
Well, it's a lot like Final Cut. I mean, it's
yeah,
in the same realm.
It's the next step up from
yeah,
Premiere.
Yeah.
I was really, really glad that I went through, though. I learned some interesting things.
Very cool.
They talked about what's called the Panasonic P2 card. It's a card. It's a memory card.
Mm-hmm.
And the Panasonic cameras actually film right to this card.
Wow.
But they're like $2,500
yeah,
for a 40-meg card.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is it records it right into a format readable by Avid.
It's
so
a
you can
40-meg card?
40-gig card, sorry.
40-gig card?
For $2,500.
Okay. It's probably all solid state. That's probably why it's so expensive.
Right. But what it lets you do is record right from the camera right
wow,
to this
hard. So
it's basically,
like,
it's like a mini hard drive.
It's like buying 41 gig memory sticks.
Yes.
Yikes.
Yeah, so it was interesting that they support that. And then briefly, what did he talk about? He talked about HDV, which
mm-hmm,
a lot of people are getting into the whole the high def stuff. And he
right,
said basically HDV, which is that middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true HD, but it's not quite the DV cam, so
okay,
it's an HDV cam. The price ranges are between a full hard, you know, a full HD cam and a DV cam.
So it's like the Digital 8 was to high. There was High 8, which is old school 8. You know, the that was after the VHS came,
yes,
the High 8. So you got an 8mm. Magnetic tape.
Yes.
And then Sony came out with their Digital 8, and then there was, what was the next step up with that from that? DV.
You went to DV.
DV and then Mini DV.
Right.
So this would be sort of a step between Mini DV or DV.
And Full HD.
And Full
right,
HD.
The problem with it, it's fine for a media format.
Mm-hmm.
From an editing perspective, it's the biggest pain in the ass you'll probably ever experience.
Oh, that's right. You said because due to the compression.
Yeah. What happens is they use what's called a GOP, which is a group of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So normally on a DV cam, every frame is an individually compressed JPEG.
Right.
Right? So it's or compressed in some format. So you can go to each individual frame. Well, in HDV, that's not the case. Depending on the camera you shoot it on, it's anywhere from every 6 frames. They're like keyframes.
Right.
So the Panasonic, every 6 frames is a keyframe. So in order to get any of the frames in the middle,
you have to move to a keyframe.
You have to move to a keyframe, and it has to render up to those frames.
Yep.
Not only that, this is interesting. They don't play linearly. When you play back HDV,
yeah,
they do not play 1, 2, 3, 4. No. They play 2, 3, 1. 2, 3, 1. They actually play 2 frames ahead and then jump back a frame.
Wow, that's weird.
It's really weird, and I don't know why they do it, but...
Well, this is actually a good... I don't know if this gets into the realm of a tech tip or not, but as you're talking about these compression algorithms and stuff, it makes me think of a lot of people, when they take home movies, they want to get it up on the internet or on the web or something like that, and if you open up Premiere, there's 100 different compression types.
Yes.
And essentially what it is most modern types of compression, like DivX or WMV or anything like that, the way they compress is great because the JPEGs, a JPEG image compresses based on sort of like groupings of pixels.
Right.
And if you compress your video as, you know, there's JPEG compression for your video, it just does that to each individual frame. If you use MPEG-4, it does that for each individual frame, and then it does it across a timeline.
Okay.
And that's why you see, like, in a lot of these video pieces of software, they say set keyframes. If you don't set keyframes, it takes a painfully long time to fast forward or rewind or any of that jazz.
Yes.
So if you plan on doing any further editing of your film, whatever you do, don't let your DivX be your archive copy.
Right.
Because even if you, yes, if you max out DivX at 100% and do it and save it as 700 by 480 or whatever the resolution is, whatever native resolution it is, it will be a great image quality when you look at it. The problem is that you'll have a real pain in the ass time editing that.
Right.
Because you can't what they call scrub it,
yep.
Which is moving quickly back and forth through the video because you have to uncompress all that crap.
Yeah,
before you
good.
Get anywhere.
Yeah, always so, better off working as close to your native resolution as possible. You want raw footage.
Right. And of course, uncompressed is just too big. It's too huge.
Not really. Well, okay. Fully uncompressed, yes, but like when we capture into Adobe
when we
Premiere,
do when we capture into
it
Premiere
is slightly
in DV, that I believe is
there is some slight compression to
there's
that.
There's some slight. We had this discussion before. No, Rodian and I had this discussion. There is a little bit of lossy compression.
Yes,
there is a lot of lossless compression.
I don't know how you can actually get media from your camera to your computer without any kind of loss. I mean, as far as I know, you know what I mean?
No, you can.
How?
The problem is, like, I tried to do it a few times. The problem is my hard drive can't keep up.
Ah.
Because it's having to write to the hard drive so fast that my hard drive can't, and it just keeps dropping frames.
Gotcha.
So, yep. So there you go.
Well, that's one of the things you got to deal with.
So,
right. So there's my super special report about
thing.
The Avid
we got so hacked,
seminar.
Dude. One of the things in martial arts that I'd like to talk about is just a brief sentence here about talking about the martial mindset.
Oh, okay.
And I heard the term the other day, and I thought it was kind of an interesting term that when oftentimes as a martial artist, you know, you come to class, you do the work in class, and then just as it's a healthy practice to when you walk into your dojo or your training hall, that sort of all of your other stresses in life kind of wash away.
Yes.
And you're focused on your martial arts alone. And
yep.
It's kind of a moving meditation then. But I think the next step to that is to bring some of your martial arts training into the outside world.
And I think that's much more difficult to do.
And that you have a martial mindset. Watch out not to bump that, dude.
Bump what?
This. See, if you bump this. Oh, maybe not. Never mind.
Boy, you are a freak.
I am a freak. it's important, I think, to have a martial mindset when you're doing things in the outside world as well. As stupid as, you know, how you open a door.
Yes.
Or
how you brush your teeth.
Or how you
stand at the sink while you're brushing your teeth.
Right, right. And while, you know, you may not have an epiphany while you're brushing your teeth because you're in the martial mindset while you're brushing your teeth. But I think it's something that will help expand both your martial arts and your life a little bit.
Yeah.
So, and I've been in the martial mindset for a couple of weeks now preparing for my black belt test because it's always on my mind.
Yes.
I am always going through forms in my head or thinking about the essay test or thinking about the presentation that I have to do or... You know, it's like
it's
martial
something.
Arts is constantly on my mind, and I think about the people that have really made it their profession. They sort of are in the martial mindset all the time.
Yes, it's a it's a lifestyle.
You know, they own their schools, and that's their, you know, they get up in the morning and they go to their school and they either promote it or they teach or, I mean, essentially all their actions are based around martial arts.
Yes.
So... Just an interesting little thought about martial arts.
Very interesting.
So let's move on to tech stuff.
All right. I threw a couple articles in here.
Yeah, you did.
The long-term effects of multitasking.
Yes.
This was a study that people did on basically whether or not people who use computers often are better multitaskers than people who don't.
And are they?
Their conclusion was basically they're not better, they just do it more often. You know what I mean? It's not like I'm going to be inherent. It's not like you don't have the potential to be a good multitasker just because you don't use a computer.
Well, they're talking about the potential for being a good multitasker or being a good multitasker.
They're talking about the fact that if I use a computer every day in my life,
yes,
I'm multitasking.
Yes, you are.
Right? And because I practice it often, that's why I may be better a better multitasker than someone who doesn't use a computer. Using the computer is not determines whether or not you're going to be a good multitasker. See what I'm saying?
But are people that use computers on a regular basis better at multitasking than those that aren't?
Well, sure, because you practice it more.
Okay. But they have not determined whether it's just sheer talent or it's just because it's practiced.
Right. Yeah. And their guess is, of course, that it's practice. Anything you practice.
Well, and I heard something interesting on the 43 Folders podcast, where the guy essentially argues that there's no such thing as multitasking. And that part of the problem with the world today is that people don't understand that. Is that you literally cannot do, you are only doing one thing at a time.
Right, but the idea,
but
when we talk
about
multitasking...
But the problem is, when we talk about multitasking, we're talking about keeping a lot of balls in the air.
Yes.
Right?
You can't think about two things at once. It's not possible.
Right.
But you're jumping between them at such a significant rate of speed that you're never really focusing on one for a long period of time.
And I think that's what his point was, is there's really no such thing as multitasking. All there really is not paying attention to something else long enough to do something else.
Right. And that was one of the things they mentioned in this article was that people who multitask that much...
Is that actually non-productive?
...have a tendency to not absorb things as well because you're not really paying attention.
Yep. I've found, and I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but I remember one of the articles I read was, it was a Joel Spolsky article, I think.
That
or Spassky?
Cool.
Spolsky?
Joel Spolsky.
He was talking about programmers and their short-term memory and saying that when you interrupt, the problem with interrupting a programmer is that you blow out his short-term memory.
And all
the variable names and all the values and all the function calls and things like that just get blown away.
There is nothing worse than being in the zone
and
somebody comes and interrupts you.
And so I think oftentimes, unfortunately for a programmer, we have a tendency to live in our short-term memories. And so when my wife says, oh, that thing is up in the hallway closet on the top shelf behind the box of raisins.
Right.
What I hear is up in the hallway closet.
Yes.
And everything else is gone to me because I'm already moving on to the next task, which is go get the thing in the closet.
Right. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
My Elle's like,
and
hey, would you go get
Jen
this?
Off. And I understand why.
And I go, sure. And I go, where is it? And she goes, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And I go, okay. And I start looking, and I'm like.
And then I start looking, and I'm like,
where did you say that was? Because I totally didn't hear a word you said.
Where'd you say it was? Right where I told you.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So anyhow,
what's the next
multitasking.
One here? Multitasking.
Screw the RIAA.
Okay.
Apparently, a judge told.
Right in the AA.
Right in the AA. There's a judge who told the RIAA. Basically, they just didn't have the right to do this. They demanded full access to this lady's computer, who they believed was downloading music illegally.
Ooh.
They didn't have any proof, but they wanted to go
proof. No.
And that judge was like,
No, you can't do that.
I don't think so.
You can't do that.
So I just thought that was retarded.
That is a good one. I like screwing the RIAA.
What the
hell
is this?
Feels good on the whole.
Did you do this one?
I didn't do this one.
This is interesting.
I think this is all you, dude. I don't think I put any articles
this out guy, week. This guy, what's his name here?
His name
Michael
is C-R-I-A.
Michael Geist. He did a study.
Why does that name sound familiar?
He's the Canada Research Chair of Internet and E-Commerce Law.
He owes me $5.
That dude owes
me $5.
They did a study
that
basically
Geist.
Counters what the music industry is saying about P2P stuff, downloading, how it's saying it hurts the industry. This guy's study actually proves, well, as much as a study can prove anything, that it actually helps them. And they broke down all the numbers. They had a survey of people and how many times they download.
I'll tell you what, this is my biggest argument about this, all this bullshit, right, is that I know a lot about the internet and about computers and about all that jazz, and it's a fucking pain in the ass to download music.
It is.
I can do it through iTunes, no problem, and I don't have. And it's the
arguments. It's hassle-free that way.
It's the arguments that we were saying about podcasts, is that MP3 players will probably not be as popular, may not necessarily be as popular as, say, satellite radio.
Right.
Because satellite radio, you hook it up, you hit a button, bam, you're done.
Yep.
With an MP3 player, you have to have a computer. The MP3 player has to be hooked up to the computer.
You got
to
sync them.
You have to get iTunes. Then you have to figure out how to rip your CDs into iTunes. And I guess iTunes sort of does that for you. But then you got to worry about hard drive space. And it's a huge pain in the ass.
What if you have to reformat your computer?
Right. It's just a giant pain in the ass. Then you have to worry about internet connections and blah, 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 blah. And God forbid, what if you have dial-up? It's just not going to happen.
Right.
And so I really think that the percentage of the population that are pirating songs and movies, for that matter, is just, it's got to be minuscule.
Infinitesimal.
It's got to be infinitesimal. That's 4 points.
Nice. Yes.
4 points for that one. So if you figure 10,000 people download the newest Harry Potter movie, and 40 million go and see it, it's who gives a fuck?
Right.
You know, it's not that big a deal.
No.
And I've known people that have known people that have done it before. And you know what? You've got to have a fucking computer hooked up to your TV.
Yeah.
Or you've got to sit there and watch it on your computer. Who wants to do that anyway?
Yeah, I don't. That's not a good atmosphere. I enjoy the process of getting ready to sit down in front of the TV and, you know, and hunker down to watch a good movie.
And then, of course, you get a real audio or a real player version of the fucking thing. And it's just like, I don't know. I think it's way blown out of proportion.
No,
and I don't even know why they're making such a big deal out of it.
Right.
They've got to be paying so much more in law fees and harm in publicity than
it's worth.
Ever would have.
Yeah, than it's worth.
On people stealing their movies and music. It's crazy.
And there's so much money getting thrown around through there. I just can't believe that they're actually
being hurt
that much on there.
It's crazy.
Well, and the other thing too, I really think this is true. And it's true for me. When I listen to something and I like it, I go out and buy it.
Sure.
I don't want a hacked copy because I like the packaging.
You download, because I downloaded a few songs on LimeWire or something like that, and they're all named weird, and the MP3 tags are never right.
Right.
It's just like, it's just not convenient.
Right.
And
I want the real thing.
I look at my nieces and nephews' MP3 collections, and they're clusterfucks. Every song is a different bitrate and has a different naming convention to it, and they've got maybe 100 megs or maybe 1 or 200 megs.
Right.
And that's it.
Yep.
Because it's a pain in the ass. So, yeah, I curse them. they need to die.
Yeah. All right. The Fedora Core 5 has been released. For those of you running
For Linux fans out there.
They released Core 5. I just thought it was noteworthy, so I threw it in there.
All right.
On to something else that's really, really irritating.
Yes. Wow, that was a quick one.
Yeah. I think the quickest story we've ever had.
Yes.
The term superheroes is trademarked.
Really?
Yes. Trademarked enough that these people who have a comic book with the words superheroes in the title have been forced to change it. Geek Punk has a flagship comic book featuring superheroes. And anyhow,
is superheroes one word or two? That's the
it's
real
two
question.
Words. Superhero. It's
so
trademarked.
If they just took the space out, they'd be good to go.
Probably not. They'd find some reason to do it.
They are super, and they are heroes. I don't see how you can trademark that.
If it's
one word, maybe I can understand
that. I know.
If it's two words, it's just two fucking words.
These guys receive...
I'm going to trademark dog balls.
I know. These guys received a letter from a trademark council to the two big comic book companies. I didn't even look where they were.
It won't stand up.
Claiming that they are joint owners of the trademark superheroes.
It won't stand up. It will not
stand up. And not just superheroes, and variations thereof.
It won't stand up. There's no way. There's no way. You know what? Marvel and DC will get harassed. But there's no way. I think some of this stuff, in all honesty, I know that we report on the trademark infringements and whatnot a lot, but
yeah.
I really think that what is really meaningful and what really has impact is what actually makes it through the court process. I think this is pointing out someone who's an asshole and ridiculous and is going to end up costing Marvel and DC a lot of money in lawyer fees.
Yep.
but I just cannot imagine it's actually going to go anywhere.
I don't know. I mean, from everything I hear, like, about what's going on, like, publicly with all the comic book companies and stuff and all the movies, is that they're real dicks about making sure that they're not getting screwed out of anything, which is fine to some degree, but, I mean, you just hear stories all the time about they think, I mean, they just, they're like the RIAA. They think they're getting fucked at every left, you know, every corner.
That's crazy.
And so they're doing stuff like this. Honestly.
Right.
A trademark. They claim to own the trademark.
You can't do that.
On the words superheroes.
And I believe a trademark is a specific graphic, isn't it?
No.
I thought a copyright was on text.
Nope. No, a trademark can be
a
like
mark
the name of
your trade,
company.
Isn't it?
Can be the name of your company, though.
But it's in a specific style, though, right?
Yeah.
Like the Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola is a trademark of Coca-Cola Company, right?
Right, but the way it's written is the trademark, not necessarily the
words. It's more
the
complicated
words.
Than that, though.
All right.
Like, I couldn't use
Number
Coca-Cola
three?
On my product just because I didn't write it.
Fancily.
Fancily, right.
Right.
Anyhow, once
but that's
again...
But that's because Coca-Cola is copywritten.
Right, both.
So, number three?
I'm going to call...
Go out and do some research.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to call bullshit on trademarks and lawyers.
All right. Bullshit.
All right.
I don't know why. The image of that humping stormtrooper just popped in my head again. It's fucking
all right,
funny.
This article is awesome.
Fake muscles work like the real thing.
Robotic muscles.
Nice, dude.
And
nice.
This article is really interesting. I think everybody should read it. They basically talk about the Nanotech Institute.
Yeah.
Has figured out a way to make robotic muscles that they can put into suits that they can give to people, like soldiers out into the fields, that enhances their muscles by like 100 times. Super soldiers, baby.
I've seen the sort of the exoskeleton deals, which look pretty cool.
This is, let's see.
Repulsion between the electrons causes the nanotubes to expand.
Yep. it's nanotech, dude.
Expanding nanotubes.
I think this is just another small step in the big picture of making really crazy sci-fi type things.
Nice.
I mean, think about it. They can make fake muscles that they can actually put on robots to do work.
Yep.
That are 100 times stronger than
human
muscles.
And then what's to stop them from making fake muscles that they put on people?
Right.
That really work.
And that's the next thing. You put them in a suit or whatever, and before you know it, you've got like Ripley in Aliens when she's driving that big mechanical thing and lifting...
Well, hopefully somebody loses their arm and they can just fucking replace the arm with a mechanical
with
arm.
A
and
nanotech mechanical
a
arm.
A nanotech mechanical arm, and it looks like the same fucking thing.
I think that's out of control is
out
what
of,
I think.
Out of control.
There are some crazy...
There's control, and then there's this.
Yes. Oh, good Lord, man. Okay, and the last thing I posted was basically just a link to free online TV across the world.
Well, that is beautiful. Oh, I looked through this list, actually.
Yeah, it was, I mean...
It's kind of interesting.
The TV programs are horrible.
Yeah.
I watched specifically their sci-fi channel, which was like old school sci-fi. We're talking like black and white and people walking around in those suits with a little... what do you call those? Painter's masks on.
Yes.
And they're like on a planet, like a desert planet, looking for alien life. And, you know, they had that crazy old school dialogue.
Were they on Dune? Desert planet.
Dune. Arrakis.
Arrakis.
Dune. Desert
the
planet.
Spice. I need the spice, baby. Give me the spice.
So if you're feeling bored and you want to watch some weird... They also had the very old cartoons.
Hey.
Like the old school, like black and white cartoons.
That's right.
Crazy where the
That's
people
right.
talk like, hey, how you doing? Hey, crazy talk.
Crazy talk. That is crazy talk. There's talk,
and
then
there's
this.
Good Lord.
I've been listening to, and I don't know if I mentioned it last time, I've been listening to the Penn Jillette podcast.
Penn Jillette?
Penn Jillette. Of Penn & Teller.
Oh, okay.
You would love this guy.
Yeah?
He is probably one of the most hardcore libertarians I've ever heard on a podcast, obviously.
Awesome.
He's super political and occasionally funny, but and he says shit, and he'll admit it freely. He says shit that are not his opinion, but he just wants to get people riled up.
That's fun to do.
Yeah, so... I'd check it out. Oh, so one of the things I was thinking about doing, because he seems like maybe the kind of guy that would get suckered into this, right?
Okay.
what I want to do is maybe next episode, once I get through all of his most recent podcasts.
Yes.
I want to maybe at the beginning of the episode or something, rip him a new asshole. Right? Just like go off on how crazy he is and how arrogant and stupid he is and blah, blah, blah. But something relatively intelligent. Then send him an email and say, boy, these guys on these other on this other podcast really ripped you a new asshole. You should check it out. And then hopefully on his, he'll say,
he'll respond,
those
to
fuckers
it.
Over there, blah, 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 are full of shit because of the thing and the stuff.
The thing and the stuff.
Because of the thing and the stuff.
It's all about the thing.
See,
and the
stuff. That's how you make a good logical argument, is it has to be, you have to include things.
Yes.
And it, there's, you know what? It doesn't make any sense at all if there's not stuff in there.
You're absolutely right.
So things and stuff equals smartness. So, yeah, wow. I guess people can look forward to me ripping Penn Jillette a new
asshole. I'm looking forward to it, actually. I'm going to listen to his podcast now, so I'm prepared.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, because you need to get prepared, too, because I think we could, I don't know. I think we could make a really good argument for...
For the death penalty?
For hit, yes, or whatever. And whatever the fuck we want to make an argument for. I think that what the argument that we really need to make is that he's a jerk-off.
All right. That'll be fun,
yes,
actually.
Exactly.
That'll be really
you
fun.
Know, hopefully we'll get him riled up. And then, if he does get all pissed off, we can say, well, actually, if you listen to episode 28...
We're just fucking with
we
you,
we talk
dude.
About, piss, you know, spewing some bullshit just to piss you off.
Yeah. That's so, fun.
There you go.
Movie stuff. The Aurora Awards.
Aurora?
Is a film festival. I just
not
wanted to,
bring
to
be confused with the Borealis Awards.
Okay.
Okay.
I just wanted people to be aware of that. I got a postcard in the mail for Roxor Media.
Very cool.
That's our company.
That is our company.
Yeah.
www.roxormedia.com, actually.
Exactly. And I believe April 24th is the deadline for people to submit films to this. It's an independent film festival.
Cool.
And looks really interesting. I'd never heard of it before.
Me neither.
So someday in the far, far future, when
yes.
we have something to submit to a film festival, it's possible we'll be in this.
We've got lots of things to submit to a film festival.
Not really. Nothing worth submitting.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
Speaking of film festivals,
yes,
the Ann Arbor Film Festival was the reason I was at that Avid seminar was it was during the Ann Arbor Film Festival.
Oh, monkey, we missed it.
All right, so I took some pictures.
Well, I missed it.
They had a big map of where all the films were submitted from.
Oh, really?
And interestingly enough, most of them were from the Michigan and slightly
it.
To the Northwest area.
Yeah.
A bunch from California, pretty much nothing in the middle, and yeah. a bunch from Europe.
Really?
Yes, like a bunch from Europe.
Really?
I
Very
was,
interesting.
Frankly, I was quite surprised.
Those invading Europeans?
I know.
Don't they get their own
festivals?
We kicked
their
festivals.
Ass once, we'll kick it again.
They should get their own festivals.
Yeah, like the Cannes or something.
Like the Cannes. Yeah, they should have it in France along the coast there somewhere with all the hot chicks and the naked beaches and whatnot. And then I should go and take lots of pictures.
Of naked beaches.
Of naked, yeah.
I don't
know.
No.
I'm lost now. I was off on a tangent there.
A French tangent.
A French tangent.
Which
see,
is even worse than a normal tangent.
There's tangents.
And then there's this.
Then there's that.
Okay.
The V for we went and saw V for Vendetta.
Yes.
I liked it a lot.
I thought it was fantastic.
Now, let me ask you this. I had somebody say that they heard that it was better than the Matrix series.
You know, I have this to say. I thought the Matrix series was great.
I did too.
You know, there was a lot of people who bitched and complained about it because it wasn't what they wanted to see, but they didn't really say what it was they wanted to see.
I think the thing about... I think comparing... The problem with comparing this to the Matrix series is that...
That they're different movies?
Is that there's three movies and this is only one.
Yes.
So I think if you were comparing them on an individual movie basis, this would be better than any of the three. But I think that the Matrix series was better than this individual movie.
I think that the... if you
I also think the first movie was very revolutionary.
The
so
first Matrix movie yeah. was better than this.
Because I think
thought.
Everybody...
I liked the concept better.
Yeah. I almost lost my headset there.
You totally did.
Yeah.
No, I liked the concept better. Ooh.
That's fine.
All right. Well, anyhow, and there's been a lot of people spewing all sorts of crap about how V for Vendetta is supporting terrorism and they want everybody to go out and blow up buildings and blah, 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 blah. You people, I got a message for you people.
Yeah.
You people are fucking morons, yeah, okay? Are. That is not what this movie is about.
Right.
This movie is about accepting who you are no matter what people say about you and having ideals and goals and missions in your life and not backing down because some people don't like it.
See, that's interesting because I got something different out of it.
All right, what'd you get out of it?
I got out of it that what the movie was really about is that there's sometimes in your life when you have to stand up for what you believe in, even though you may be afraid to.
Yes.
And even though, regardless of whether it's your government,
regardless of who says anything about it,
it's your family, or you know, it's I mean. If family is a good analogy, you know, it's like if you have a different religious belief than your family or something like that, there's some point at which it's important to say, you know what, screw you, and I'm going to do everything in my power to say fuck you and stand up for what I believe in,
right?
You know.
Yep.
And unfortunately the way this movie sort of evolved, the fuck you came in the form of violence.
Yes.
Eh.
Well, some of them did. I mean, there were different things. The main character expressed his
fuck you,
his
in
fuck
violence.
You with violence.
Right.
You know, and the lead
the
female,
rest of the country didn't.
Right. The lead yes. female, she basically overcame the fears of what she wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know, through a totally different means,
right.
Which I'm not going to say because it gives away a really cool part of the movie. I
yes.
think.
The girl dies in the movie, by the way.
Everybody dies in the end.
Everybody dies in the end. Oh, shit.
And speaking of the girl, yes. Natalie Portman, smoking hot.
Yummy.
Smoking hot.
Yummy.
So, I mean, it was worth seeing just
yeah.
because...
You know, I thought it was really good. I thought it was definitely worth the price of admission.
And anybody who thought she was a horrible, horrible actress in the Star Wars series, she totally redeems herself.
She redeems herself in
this movie.
One.
She's a phenomenal I wouldn't say actress.
I wouldn't say it's like an Emmy winner or anything like that, but
no,
it's good.
It's a difficult role. You know, crying and
yeah,
and
the crying
stuff.
And the whatnot. She cut her hair for it.
Yeah, I'd say.
Which, she ended up looking a lot like...
Sinead O'Connor?
No. What's her name from G.I. Jane?
Oh, Demi Moore?
Demi Moore.
Hmm.
Yep.
Because I didn't think about that.
Well, maybe it's just because I want to have sex with both of them.
Maybe.
At the same time.
And if they look like each other, it'd be like twins.
Yeah, dude.
Ooh.
Oh, nice. Except there'd be an old one and a young one. And so it'd be like a mom and a daughter. And
Twins.
Hey,
a mom, down, dude.
Mom and a daughter and twins all at the same time.
You have a serious issue.
Damn, dude. I think you shocked a few people with your chop off the head and throw it in a freezer last week.
Did I say that last
yes.
week?
Yes, you said you were going to chop off somebody's head
oh.
and throw it in a freezer.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Good.
I think I pretty
that
well
was,
pushed everybody away with the D&D aristocrats joke. I haven't heard much of anybody since I've done that.
I think everybody got kind of quiet.
I think I've completely
like,
offended
oh,
everyone.
Shit. Well, and you know what? We're not exactly argumentative. We really just sort of state facts, and then we're kind of done.
I know. We'll be argumentative just for a second. Fuck you, Dan.
Fuck you, Sterling.
Sweet. There you go. There's our argument.
Yeah.
Okay. Last thing I was going to say is we have the next role-playing session that we're going to be doing.
Oh,
for
we have it scheduled?
It's going to be, I believe, after May, because that's when I get done with my theater thing. And we are going to do one of two things. We're
yes.
either going to play Serenity, the role-playing game,
ooh.
Which I have on order, by the way.
Ooh.
It's going to be here by April 1st, and I will give a full rundown on what I think of it.
Yes.
Or I'm going to download a couple of expansions for Talisman, and we're going to have a Balls-to-the-Walls Talisman Festival.
All right. I have no idea what Talisman is. But.
Oh, man. Talisman's like the best board game ever made.
Oh, really?
Games Workshop.
All right.
Oh, we'll have to talk about it. The Geek Sound guys talked about Talisman. You'll know it. I know you've seen it before, at least
okay.
heard about it before.
Okay.
So maybe I should go over some of that. I have an interesting Talisman site that I will point people to for those
really?
Who are interested in Talisman.
All right.
Very, very fun board game.
All right. Well, cool. Well, good.
So,
I think we got a good podcast in there.
We
expected it was going to be a short one, so it's 43 minutes or so, and I think that's good.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
So, www.rockstormedia.com
and I'm Sterling, and
yes.
I've got some DDO playing to do.
Woo! I'm Dan, and
yeah.